You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 87. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I'm Rogue Schindler.
This week, we're going to recap the biggest tournament in San Diego, and then we're going to talk about Worlds, and we had a little contest, and the winner of that contest will be joining us a little bit later to talk about that, and kind of a wrap-up of other things that are going on. We've got a 1E spoiler, and why don't we just jump into it?
It was a warm summer's night when I sat down to write the prettiest song ever written.
You were gone.
Yeah, which apparently cleared the way for you.
Yeah, let me tell you, I used that to my advantage. Because there's a deck I've been thinking about, and it finally popped back in my head again, and you would have slaughtered it mercilessly with your anti-weenie tech in your dilemma pile.
Yeah.
I 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago when we played, the majority of the decks were, well, at least the two winning decks were Terek Nor, which is, you know, obviously one of the two powerhouses to come out of peak performance. And since no one had played Starfleet, I had a pretty good idea that this was going to be the Starfleet day, and half the people brought Starfleet decks. So the idea is damaged captain makes all your Starfleet folks immune to dilemmas that don't require a skill.
Mm-hmm.
So my dilemma pile was all skill-based dilemmas. And I kind of thought that someone would bring a legacy dilemma pile. Legacy says you and your opponent both flip the top three dilemmas of your pile. If you don't flip as many as they do that require a skill, everyone stopped. So that worked really well. I threw one in. I thought someone was going to be playing some, you know, flip your deck over so you're drawing legacy every turn and you get the same three dilemmas. So if I'm playing with all skill-based dilemmas and I flip over three, then I keep going and your dilemma won't do anything to me. So that was the idea. And then I threw legacy in myself because why not, right?
Sure.
One of them would always work if I only had one. And I figured between that, the dilemma pile being teched against Archer and against legacy pile, I went with the two headquarters, Kira Taban, Guinan, at what cost,
oh,
cadets, and I played with two ships that cost three and a ship that cost four, and yeah, because the new one that came out, the antique,
right,
the
Bozeman Reserve.
Yeah. That and the Kelpo, and I think I threw in a Hoopty just because I wanted to have a ship, you know, a third ship. It was fantastic. The whole deck was depleted in like by turn four, and I was attempting missions with, you know, two sets of seven, and I think I had three or four people who had skills, and everyone else was cadets.
Wow.
It was a lot of fun to play. I posted it. It probably doesn't deserve to be in the top decks category, since if anyone had been running any kind of Tragic Turn pile, or if I had seen one more than one Dalrock, I think I would have been just, you know, obliterated. But as it was, I narrowly lost in the first round to one of the Starfleet decks. Brian was using his teched out future crew Starfleet deck with the damaged people.
Okay.
And he got, I think it was a 70-65 timed win for him.
Yeah, we talked about that. So I guess that worked out well together. We talked about that last time.
Exactly. And then I played against TK, and Legacy just kept popping up to the top of my deck. The reason the deck is faster than it was before is I put in six of the rituals. So instead of a 35-card deck, it ran like a 29-card deck.
Oh, for crying out loud.
So every time you draw one, you play it, and you draw a card. And one of the rituals lets you shuffle your dilemma pile, you know, whenever someone attempts a mission. So if I drew my legacy and played it, and it stopped him,
then it bounces.
Went bottom. So I just shuffled the next time, and you know it was a pretty thin to low pile anyway. So it came back to the top, and I stopped him again. I think that's the first time I've beaten that Thomas and Johnny in the same tournament. Because later on, I had to play Johnny. He was also playing Starfleet, and all the tricks worked. It was fun. I think the round I was worried about the most was against Thomas V, because he was playing a Cardassian capture deck.
Ooh.
And like I said, there's about three people that I need who actually have skill dots, so I can solve my other two missions other than the cadet mission. And I kind of figured they'd be captured and I would be done. But it was just so fast that he didn't get his stuff, and I did. And I just, like I told Johnny, I didn't trip over myself on the way to victory. And did what it was supposed to do. So I had a fantastic time.
Well, it sounds like it. So you had you were playing Bajor, TNG, Earth,
yeah,
some
TNG
form
Earth.
Of Earth, and yeah. Then you said there were what, two or three Starfleet decks,
yeah,
and a Cardassian capture. Was there anything else?
The last deck, which I apparently there was due to the pairings, we played four rounds with six people, so it would have worked one or two ways. So I flipped a coin. I was really hoping I was gonna have to play against Matt, because I did not want to face that Cardassian deck and have my linchpin taken out. Matt was playing Maquis, and I figured I could be faster than him. Apparently, his Doma pile looked like your Doma pile, and I would have had problems. I got the randomly correct choice, and I didn't actually have to play against Matt, so I didn't see what he was doing. But, that's got to be a record for beating Thomas, and Johnny in the same tournament. I was
seriously.
That's, I was
like,
very happy with my points.
Championship trick right there.
But,
well, I'd be looking forward to. I'll have to ask Matt if he played with the new Cardassian, or not Cardassian, Maquis.
Yeah, probably so.
Pumper.
He was pretty happy with that,
cool.
With his build. But this is just a deck that I can't ever use again, because, like I said, if someone brings
storm.
A tragic turn pile, everyone dies. And, I mean, I've got one in a mirror darkly there, so I could get everyone back once. And I could play him again really fast, but any kind of repeated attack or. If Thomas would have been effective with his capturing, it would have been over. So
yeah, and well, you were right. You know, knowing that was the new deck that everybody would want to try this week, you know, and being able to tech against it, that was a stroke of luck that is probably
I rolled the dice.
Yeah, seldom to come again.
And here's the problem that I found after I had put the dilemma pile together after a little bit. You know, if you don't have any dilemmas in your deck at all that don't require a skill. You can't play with anything that stops mega teams. You can't play with anything that stops micro teams. I mean, I couldn't play a skeleton crew. I couldn't play a fracture time or anything like that. No pin downs, nothing like that. I couldn't play a secret identity. I couldn't target people individually. I couldn't play He Wasn't Nice. I couldn't play Hard Time. They were all there. Chula the Chandra and the Minor Revolt.
Sure,
Those are cards that I put in every deck. And not having those was a little difficult. But, man, just being able to play one legacy and having it bounce and nothing under, that was really worth it right there. If I had to play against a legacy deck, I think I would just throw lots and lots of teams at it, knowing that they probably don't have a skeleton crew. Or if they do, it's going to be detrimental to them because it's going to be a card they flip and it's not going to work.
Right. So I guess you didn't play with the transport gap survivor.
No,
since
I
that
had.
Would have
since
been
I was
detriment to yourself.
Yeah. I don't think I, because I was playing with mostly cadets. My people weren't very attribute high. I ended up double teaming with six people a lot and seven people a lot. My other two missions were. Escort something and some other 30-point nonsense. Just really, really easy. I think Nog could do one of them by himself, and Rachel Garrett could do the other one by himself. So I think Nog might have been the most... Nog and Bashir might have been the two expensive people in my deck. I think he cost two. But it was like I said, if you can get away with it, it was a lot of fun.
Sure.
It's not something I can really recommend playing, because if something goes wrong, it's just going to fall apart. It's like a house of cards. Very, very cheap, easy to throw together, but you take out one of the linchpins like Nog or somebody with skills you need.
It sounds like if you fail, though, you fail pretty quickly, so at least you can move on.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of people died, I think, in my game with Brian. But in order to play in a Mirror Darkly, Guinan has to die so I can play her again and get 5 more points. In fact, if someone had played the Phoenix or one of those dilemmas that make me lose 5 points, it would have been over because I really have no way of getting there. So it was very, very tight. But it all worked out, so I had a good time.
It sounds like it was a good time. And I hear there were a very high number of tribbles bred afterwards.
It was kind of crazy. We played 6 rounds since there were 6 of us. Everyone got at least 200,000 tribbles. And TK almost did it. He got 842,000.
Wow.
For the top score. And most of that was courtesy of... Actually, you know what? I don't think he went out once. He poisoned and scored and poisoned some more.
Hey, that's my deck.
And I'm going to print out a page of antidotes to pass out to everyone not enough people are apparently running them.
How come I never performed that well?
Yeah. Well, it helped that most of the rounds went a little long. We didn't really have... We had one quick one, and you know why? Because he poisoned TV, and TV went out, I think.
Oh my God, TV is running antidotes now? Yeah, I'm going to have to restructure my whole strategy.
So... Yeah. But no, it was a good time. Like I said, the other scores were 300,000, 200,000, 200,000, 300,000, 300,000. So it was really close.
Good grief.
Except TV, who just ran away with it on the strength of his scoring on other people.
Full of stars above. I thought of Kirk and his crew and their mission of love. And I sang the first verse of the prettiest song ever written about Star Trek.
All right, well, I'm glad that that's out of the way, so now I can play my Starfleet deck and not get spanked.
That's right.
Another 2E, or so 2 weeks we were going to have a 1E tournament, but that might be 2E now, probably.
Well, it depends on the community. See, we had planned this, you know, out at the beginning of the summer. That's the week that Straight and City comes out. So it would be a release event, but you couldn't actually use any of the cards in the event.
Right, that's the problem with the release events.
Yeah. We thought about doing some kind of draft, where you draft the packs and whoever gets to play.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's hard to do with a 1E set when there are, you know, 1,000 affiliations to worry about.
Yeah.
So we may just switch it up and play 2E in 3 weeks, and then the next week, when the next scheduled tournament, we'll switch that to the 1E.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Speaking of straight and steady, however, we have a spoiler.
Yes.
For the 1E fans on the edge of their seat with anticipation for new cards. It is an interrupt, and it is an alternate universe interrupt, and it is titled Diverse Experiences.
This is to help out more 22nd century folks.
The lore reads, the crew of the Enterprise paved their way for interstellar cooperation because of their willingness to embrace alien cultures and knowledge. So, sounds like some cooperation text going on. The game text is, once each turn, when you complete a mission, draw a card for each 22nd century personnel in crew or away team to a maximum of 5. So that's kind of the core of 1E, is getting that draw engine going. So this is an interrupt that lets you draw cards when you solve a mission.
Well, I mean, how many times are you going to do that during a course of a game?
Solve a mission? Hopefully not more than 3 or 4 times.
And the last one, you're not going to be needing to draw any cards.
So
this is really for your first attempt.
Yeah, try to get a jump on finishing that first mission and speeding your way into the next one, I guess?
That's kind of an interesting quandary, because you need to put enough of them in your deck to get one, make sure you have it for that first completion, assuming you have five people in your team.
Sure.
But if you have too many in your deck, you're going to have, you know, a couple in your hand at the end of the game because you couldn't use them.
Is there a way to download an interrupt that you need?
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't keep straight my 1E and 2E cards.
Suppose if you're playing a slim deck, you can plan on solving three missions, figure you'll draw into the first one by the time you solve your first one, figure you're probably drawing your second one by the time you get to your second mission, and then you'll be decked by the time you get to your third mission.
Yeah. So something to help out the Starfleet and friends.
So they're
deck.
They're Klingons. There are non-aligned. We've seen at least one Romulan. And rumor has it there's a Bajoran.
Hmm.
I don't know if... Well, I guess we'll have to see what else you can use this with. But anyone can play with Porthos.
That is true. And I guess he is technically a personnel card, even though he is an animal. So if you desperately need some cards, you can throw a Slar and a Porthos in your deck.
That's right. And there was somebody asked if Berlinghoff Rasmussen is going to get an errata to get the 22 icon, because his lore says
that is an interesting point, because
he is actually
from the 22nd century.
I think that's hilarious.
You know, that would have been hilarious if they had thought of that while Enterprise was running. to actually have that episode, an episode where he discovers that and disappears, and they never find out what happened to him. That sounds like
they tied in so much other stuff. I would not be surprised if that were a season 5 episode.
That sounds like an Enterprise fanfic.
Yeah.
All right.
Why didn't they continue Enterprise like they did, like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, with a comic book, you know, written by the core team? Continue.
That would be cool. They did that. They did it in the novels. They did continue Deep Space Nine, which was actually very interesting. Johnny and Thomas and I have all read them and are really fascinated by that storyline. So maybe that's something that Enterprise fans need to let Pocket Books know. Hey, we want to continue the voyages, as it were.
Yeah, right. So Trip didn't really die, and
that episode never happened anyway. The finale was the episode before that.
Section 31 took them, and they altered the records.
That's right. Altered records. That's on Bajor, though.
Yeah.
Well,
he was sent to Bajor.
to wrap this up, this is a card 15 of the virtual set. Virtual rarity, of course. But while I was off on assignment and you were sweeping the San Diego tournament, I hear there were some people gathering elsewhere for some tournament of some kind of importance.
Yeah, that was an amazing turnout. Biggest event the continuing committee has hosted was with day one of the two worlds. Fantastic. I didn't get to go, had originally planned on it, you know, when it was announced, thought about, you know, to see how we can finagle things, and it didn't work out. But reading the reports, the live updates that were going on throughout the event, just excellent work by the organizers getting that done. The reports of the folks after people are trickling home, you know, it's only Tuesday and they were playing yesterday. So once they've woken up again, perhaps we'll start getting some more.
But we did get the announcements of the world champions. Tobias Rausman for 2E took the crown, whereas Andres Rhinelander was able to walk away with the 1E championship.
And don't forget, Neil Timmons, former world champion, is once again the world champion of the world.
Did he win triples?
He won the triples. Yes, he did. I think it's fantastic.
Wow. Well, I'm glad that he came out and played some tribbles.
You know what that means.
You're going to have to take your crown back next year?
At Gen Con. He'll be there. I'll be there. It'll be an event.
Showdown.
Yeah. With a game that's 75% luck, yeah, let's have a showdown.
I expect Jesse to show up and sweep the whole thing this time. Yeah, he was the black sheep. No, what's the underdog coming from a dark horse? That is, that's it.
Black sheep works too.
Black sheep, dark horse. Yeah, coming in and he's going to come back and take the whole thing. We did, however, have a little Latinum wager going on the results of Worlds, or at least the affiliations thereof. So we have Chairman Charlie joining us so we can talk about those results. And
Hello, gentlemen.
So how are we doing, Charlie?
Dan edged me out. We'll start at the bottom, since that would be me. I wound up with 287 points. And Dan, even though my highest scoring affiliation was twice as high as his highest scoring affiliation, with my TOS Earth beating out the Borg, Dan had 6 affiliations to my 4. And even though one of those scored a 0, he edged me out by 4 points. 291
four whole points. And really, 291 is higher than 287. I think that's what's important.
It is.
Unfortunately,
And that was
200 points is. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say those two that I mentioned, the TOS Earth, doubling your Borg. I think that's second and third place for victory points, which is really where
at least that got split up.
Yeah, that's really where the split comes in, because. Right above that, unfortunately, would be Starfleet with 223 victory points. So really, that was all that Charlie needed. he got a little support from the rest of his affiliations, but that and one more, any one more of his could come up and beat us in the head.
Well, I knew they were going to be popular. I didn't know that they were going to be as popular as they were.
I was surprised Dan didn't get a little more mileage out of Tarek Nor. But unfortunately, it seems that the one person who played them and got 43 points for him just couldn't run it up.
Just the sheer number of Starfleet players.
Yeah.
Well, I think if I remember right, we sort of knew that might happen. Because we were talking about how people would really want to play with it in side events, but probably wouldn't play it in the main tournament. And I think that was,
right. Yeah, that was
with the exception of the Tyler and Johannes. I think that it really didn't show up much.
Yeah, that was definitely why I didn't bid it up. And so 10 points for. He bit ten Latinum. I think he got his money worth out of that, but just wasn't enough. And Charlie's inside info on the new set Peak Performance, I think, definitely ended up being beneficial there. And as it turns out, between that and our poor bidding skills, and everybody else knowing what that was, I think there was maybe one or two people who did not score. Higher than any of us. we got completely dusted by everybody else. And that's probably the nature of the way they got to use our bids and work their own budget for their teams. But we got smoked.
So basically, we were the scrubs, and I'm just the king of the scrubs.
I think so. definitely some high scores. 360. 6 was your score, which beat us by nearly 100, certainly. But we've got our good friend Johnny scored just under 400 with 399. He was sort of the middle of the pack, with what looks like 2, 4, 6, almost seven or eight people scored in the high 400s. Two people pushed and even broke the 500 barrier. Wayne's Last Clone came in second with 503, but he could not beat out Shag with 521. And you know what? You know how many of those did not pick Starfleet?
Go ahead.
Two.
Two.
Two people did not pick, did not buy a Starfleet. So I think everybody felt that. They're...
I think you're looking at the, Terra Nor line.
Oh, I am looking at the Terra Nor.
Two people
Nor
didn't take Terra Nor. Yeah. But I think what's impressive is Shag only spent 96 bars of Latinum.
That is impressive, and he's the only one person spent 95. But other than that, he spent the least, or tied for spending the least, and came out ahead.
So who is the winner?
Well played to you, Shag. Do you know who that is? S-H-A-G-G.
I'm not familiar with that user. So
yeah. Well, that user, hopefully they didn't go to Worlds, because I'm going to be mailing them the 2E awesome-looking Worlds promo.
Yeah, he made some good picks. He missed out on TOS Earth, which was the second highest getter of victory points. There was a big spread between Starfleet at 223, TOS Earth at 166 was second place, and then all of the rest were in two digits. Borg in the at the 85 range, and everything else goes down from there, 70, 60, 50. But he managed to, while he skipped the second, he did get a lot of high getters for the rest.
Yeah.
He picked Starfleet Earth, the Tarek Nor was in the 40s, Borg in the 80s, Cardassian, Dominion, Ferengi, which picked up 40 points.
At 44 bars of Latinum for TOS Earth, that's tough to bid on.
It is,
because that's most of your Latinum. So it was not one of the most efficient purchases.
It wasn't, considering Charlie got 50% more for half the price.
Yeah.
So yeah,
well,
my strategy
is one more. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, my strategy for bidding high on a few power affiliations did not work out as well.
There's going to be one more round of scores, because we don't have the full totals for... I was going to give away two promos, one for the person who scored the highest on Just Worlds, and another one to the person who scored the highest on all the 2E tournaments at Worlds. So we're going to count the Beer Master tournament, the team tournament, everything, all the affiliations. So once we get that info, I will declare the other winner from the 20 or so people who entered the contest.
And I think Tarek Nor will get a much bigger showing and have a bigger effect on that, probably.
Yeah, we'll see.
In the meantime, Shag should contact us at section31@danhammond.com so that he can claim his prize.
Dan, just in case anybody didn't see it over the weekend, what is the Worlds promo that we're sending out?
It's a little bit of cardboard awesome. This is...
It really is.
It's Sphere... Well, I'm not even going to try. It's Sphere 634, which is the Sphere from the Fractured Time set, correct?
Yes.
Is that the one that doesn't add two when moving to the Alpha Quadrant and back?
Yes.
Okay.
However, it's a new picture, it's a foil, and it's all in German, and that's just fantastic. Worlds being in Germany. You know, the only thing that's not in German is World Championship 2010. Whatever.
So everything else, the game text is in German?
Yeah.
The title's in German, and even, like, range, weapons, and shields are all in German?
Yeah. What's this? Rischwhitey and Waffen and Schiedli. Yeah. And all the Germans are out right now.
Did we do something like that for 1E too?
The 1E was the Starfleet phaser pistol. Both of these cards are up in buried in the World's Live update post. I think that's where you put them, right, Charlie?
Yes. Thomas asked me to put them up there, so that's what I did.
Yeah. So go and take a look. This is the Starfleet pistol from the Enterprise collection, also in German, also with a new picture, and it looks brilliant. I gave two of those away for people using the new deck builder, the 1E deck builder online, and those winners were announced, and those are ready to be sent out as well. So congrats to the winners of that.
Sounds cool.
And congratulations to Charlie for winning the first contest. Now, you know, we're going to do this again next year.
I definitely think we will have to do this again next year.
Yeah.
I actually had a lot of fun, and because I won and I felt guilty about winning, I donated $50 to the continuing committee today on behalf of Section 31 for thanks for all that you guys do. So $50 for the community in your guys' name. So
thank you, sir.
Thank you for running this contest. And we guys are coming up on 100 podcasts. We're going to have to do something pretty special for that. So
we'll have to make sure that goes to some particular bribes so we can have some nice, juicy information for the 100th podcast.
Yes. That sounds awesome. About Star Trek.
Now the sky.
And, you know, flipping the page there, since Dan mentioned the contest for posting 1E decks on the deck builder, I did get a chance to fiddle with that last week and been having a chance to update my deck for OTF, and I'm really enjoying it. Having that deck builder, it took a little getting used to having the additional page search feature, but it's really nice having a 1E deck builder again. After going so long without it and having to spend the many, many, many weeks of arduously building a 1E deck when I can do it online now. So thanks to everybody who's on that development team and putting all the effort into that.
Yeah, now when I build a deck, I don't have to spend the last hour putting the cards away that I didn't actually put in the deck that I just pulled out to look at.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah. Oh, this might be cool. This might be cool. Now I gotta pull.
No, but the best part, I think, was when I finally figured out that you're supposed to have two windows open at once, one on the left, one on the right, one for the deck builder, one for the search, and you can just go back and forth and put them in, you know, put in your search terms, it populates on the right.
Yeah.
That is a fantastic way to do it. So high marks to our programmer, Mr. Loban, for that.
You know, I think one of the nicest features, it isn't part of the deck builder, and I agree with you, but if you're even on the card list, and you have a card that like downloads another card, you can just click on the link there in the text of the card itself to see what the downloaded card does. And since I'm getting back into 1E and I don't really remember what all these cards do, that's such a nice feature. It's like, oh, what does the classic tricorder download do? And I click on it and it brings it right up and shows me what it does. That's just amazing.
Yeah, so. And that's fantastic, especially for 1E where everything is linked to something else and it, you know, who knows what Blood Oath does, but there's some guy that downloads it. Now you can read it and then, you know,
decide whether you want it in your deck. Yeah,
exactly.
That's very cool. So that'll become very handy in the next month as we move forward into Straight and Steady and get ready for that release event.
So, Charlie, we talked briefly about Worlds and who the folks that won and kind of reports trickling in. What was your overall impression of the big show that the Germans put on for us?
I'm still jealous that I couldn't go. It definitely sounds like it was a lot of fun. I don't think it would be a world championship if there wasn't drama of some sort. And I've heard bits and pieces of a couple different things that happened, but in spite of that, I think everybody had a lot of fun, it seems. I mean, there may be some triage work that needs to be done, but there are a couple of people screaming. I won't say they're screaming bloody murder, but they're like, we need to fix this right now. And I would just caution everybody to give Brad and the rules committee and the people who are involved, both for 1E and 2E, time to look at everything. I mean, it's only at the time we're recording this, it's only been 3 days since the event, and most of the deck lists aren't up, and we've only had the chance to talk to, you know, a handful of the people that were there, and there's been a lot of discussion, and that's good. Please keep the discussion going, but I don't think that the people would really want something done hastily and rushed versus something that's you know, well informed and carefully considered. Not to say that we should take forever to make any decisions, and I don't know that anything should be eroded either. I'm not committing to anything, but there's always big. This isn't the first time that a quote unquote broken deck has been around on the scene. Mott was one recently. The Galgathong deck a few years ago. Berlin Wall.
I was going to ask you, how do you think this kind of compares to the Galgathon experience?
Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah. Well, from what I've heard, you know, the vocal people discussing things, that kind of sounds like the closest analog, something that you really have to tech against to be able to beat, or you're playing that deck. Everyone's screaming for something to be done right now. And if I remember correctly, Galgathon was out for quite a while before it got a change. And you know, it finally did get a change, and it's not used very often anymore. I see it every once in a while, but not nearly what it used to be.
I think you're dead on. I really think that the Galgathon situation, at least for the Terraknor deck, the Starfleet deck, different thing. For the Terraknor deck, that was described to me by a couple people as 90% of the Berlin Wall. Meaning 90% of the negativity of the brokenness of the Berlin Wall. It's closest to the Galgathon. And that people were talking about it right when it came out. And it took a while to get to the errata for it because, you know, there was the desire to see it in action and see how the community would react to it. You know, because it's entirely possible that some of the best players in the world got together and built this Terraknor deck. Who's to say that some of the best players in the world couldn't get together and build something that stops it? But if it's going to turn into a situation where high-level events are either you play the Terraknor deck or you play the deck that beats the Terraknor deck, that's something that's not desirable. I think it was Johannes Kaiser who said almost any deck should have a fighting chance against almost every other deck. And if this is really a situation where it's like you have to be building, you have to be playing a very specific thing to beat this, or you're just going to be shut out, then that's not good for the game, and something should be done about it. But you know, just remember, you know, time needs to be taken to look at deck lists, try out some permutations, do some play testing, all that kind of stuff. I still think Peak Performance was a fabulous set that did most of what it was intended to do, and yeah, there are some good cards in there, and it may end up being that a couple of them are detrimental to the play environment, but I think Brad and James and Gerard and the entire playtest team did a pretty good job. I mean, there's been some criticism of the playtesters, which is very easy to do if you've never been a playtester. I know that you guys have both been playtesters, and I've been a playtester. There's a lot of cards in the game right now. And this particular Terraknor deck, I mean, it uses cards from Peak Performance, from Raise the Stakes, from Necessary Evil, from Reflections, from like six different sets. You know, it's got a combo of like six or seven cards that make it so good. It's easy to say, oh, Peak Performance is broken because it created this broken deck. Well, there's a card in Peak Performance that made this combo work, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the most recent card is the card that's the problem. It may be that case, but I mean, the Berlin Wall deck ended up eroding cards from Necessary Evil, which had come out, you know, 2 years earlier. So it's complicated. You know, if you think the playtesters are doing a bad job, my best advice to you is to put together a group and apply to be a playtester, because we can always use more. And it's a tough job. And once you start doing it, you will realize that it is not as easy as you might think it is. I'm not naming names and I'm not pointing fingers, but if you want the game to be better, volunteer. That's my best advice.
And who should people contact if they wanted to volunteer for a playtesting gig?
If you want to volunteer to be a playtester for a first edition, you should contact Jason Robinette. He goes by JasonRed3. If you want to volunteer to be a playtester for second edition, you should contact Brad. Goes by Brad. Contact either of them by private message. in a pinch, you can also contact me, and I'll pass it along. So, and I'm Midnight Lich, if you didn't know.
Yeah, that's
that.
Too hard to spell.
Yeah. Jason Red 3, first edition, or Brad for second edition. So
very good.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for coming and joining us again, Charlie, and for sharing that information. That's useful, I'm sure. A lot of people coming off the adrenaline of Worlds, both people who attended and played and people who are just kind of watching and waiting for the pot to explode or while they stir. But we'll definitely have to keep an eye on the situation. And, of course, as always, we will bring our intelligence and our very pointed opinions to bear right here from our little abandoned relay station.
Definitely grab the deck lists and play it in some casual games with your buddies and see how it works and see what you can think of it.
Yeah.
I mean, the more people, don't necessarily take it to a local tournament and ruin everybody's day if it is that bad, but invite a couple of your friends over, order pizza.
You hear that, Franklin?
Bringing
a deck to a tournament and ruining everybody's day is not the way to make a point.
Just at least be aware of it. So, if you're aware of it being out there, you're less likely to be surprised if somebody does show up with it, at least until it gets fixed, if it gets fixed. Don't just, as you said, try not to overreact. Take a deep breath and let the people that we have in place do their jobs.
Yeah. Well, I think we have just about run out of intelligence for our very special Worlds edition of Section 31 this week. But we will, of course, give our customary shout-out to Warp 11 for their kick-ass theme song and Thomas for putting together the show. Thanks again to Charlie for stopping by. And we'll have to do this again next week. In the meantime, I am Sir Rogue.
And I am Sir Dan.
And I will remind you all to expand your peak performance power in the universe.
And I will put 87 of your personnel onto your deck, Dan.
I thought about space and the final frontier, and I shed a tear as I finished the saddest song ever written about Star Trek.